Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
So Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 6, this is what the Bible says. Many a person proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy person? I want to read it to you in a different translation. I like this translation. This is what the Bible says. Many men will claim his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me. As I minister this word, would you allow your word to fall on good soil this morning? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to, as of right now, begin to minister to our hearts. Help us to understand what the Bible tells us about being faithful in a world that sometimes is not faithful. I pray that you would let us be pure in heart. Let our ears be open. Father, forgive us of all things so that we can have a clear conscience. I pray that you would go before me, level every mountain, be with me as I minister your word. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. This morning, as I minister the word, I'm first want to thank God for what he's done within my life. Close to 19 years ago, I walked into a church, and someone told me about Jesus. I gave my life to the Lord, and I've never looked back. And, you know, over the past 10 days, I have had time to spend with my brother. Many of you know he was here, and we were able to spend a lot of quality time. And as I was with him, you know, we're older now, but I've been reflecting on our life. I've been reflecting on my life, and I've just been thinking about all the things that God has done within my life. And I'm sure that there have been times within your life that, who's ever been through a time where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this? Who's ever been there? Right? Truth is, we all probably have times within our lives where we don't know how we're going to get through something. But if we truly look back at how we got through it, we would find God's footprints carrying us through our struggles. Amen? So this morning, what I want to speak to you about is on the topic of faithfulness. Someone say faithfulness. I want to talk to you this morning about what the Bible teaches us about being faithful. Faithfulness is one of those topics that has a lot of different meanings, and to be truthful, it's kind of a gray area. There are a lot of people that they believe they're faithful. However, when you look at what the Bible has to say about faithfulness, there are some areas that maybe we can be missing it. And I feel led to talk about faithfulness because did you know that faithfulness impacts every relationship that you have? If you are faithful, the relationship will go good. If you're unfaithful, relationships don't do so well. And how many know that relationships are a two-way street, right? God requires for us to be faithful. What I want to do today as I minister, I want to answer a couple questions. I want to answer questions like, what does it mean to be faithful? What does it take to be faithful unto God and in our relationships? Because like I said, there are a lot of people, they have different philosophies of what it means to be faithful. But when you look at what the word faithful actually means, this is what it means. It means strict or thorough in performance or duty. Its more common definition has to do with being loyal, unwavering, dependable, and committed. Now, when we look at the scripture we opened up with, it's actually a very interesting scripture when you begin to do the study. Because when you look at this scripture in particular, it gives us two perspectives, and it also gives us a contradiction. Let me read it again. It says, many will claim his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. See, the scripture gives us two perspectives. The first perspective is man's perspective, in that it's saying that many men say to themselves that I'm loyal and I'm faithful. And the second perspective is a biblical perspective or God's perspective that says, well, where are they? Because think about it. Why would the Bible tell us this? And what does the Bible want us to learn from this? Many men will claim his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. In other words, what the Bible is telling us is that many men claim to be loyal, but the author is asking, well, where are these loyal people? Are you hearing me? It's an interesting contradiction. But here we have two sides. One perspective claims loyalty, and the other perspective claims that they don't see these loyal people. Now, when you read a scripture like this, it causes you to question, what does it mean to be faithful? Now, I have found that a lot of times people's faithfulness, listen to this, people's faithfulness and commitments are often dictated by convenience and how they feel. Because what we are loyal to, listen, what I'm loyal to is not what I say I'm loyal to. What I am committed to is not what my words say I'm committed to. What I'm committed to is where I give my time, and it's proven within my actions. Are you hearing me? But I have found that a lot of times our loyalties, our faithfulness is often dictated based off of our convenience and how we feel. And this presents a huge problem when it comes to being faithful. Because if my faithfulness is contingent based on how I feel, that's not true faithfulness. True faithfulness, listen to me, requires consistency, dependability, and commitment. We were at the men's home this week, and they were having a Bible study. And I walked in at the end of the Bible study, and I started asking the men, well, what did you get out of the Bible study today? What did you get out of the Bible study? One of the men looked over their notes, and he said, what really caught my attention, he said, love is not a feeling, love is commitment. Love is not what I feel, right? If my commitments and my faithfulness are contingent based upon how I feel, how many know my faithfulness is going to be weak? Because you can't always trust your emotions, right? My emotions tell me one thing today and tell me another thing tomorrow, right? I might get mad at, you know, I look at my kids, right? I got two boys around the same age, and how many know siblings that are close in age, they usually fight. Now, in my case, I got two boys, and they get angry, and they start saying things they don't really mean. 1 minute they're fighting, 15 minutes later they're out playing and laughing, having a good old time. The problem is, if they understood the power of their words, maybe they wouldn't say it. Are you hearing me? But there is a problem when our faithfulness is dictated based off of our emotions. First off, emotions are kind of fickle. Are you hearing me? What I feel today, I may not feel tomorrow. You know, this is why, like, I teach a lot of the men within our church, listen, don't say what you mean all the time. Don't say what you're feeling all the time. Ask. You talk to the majority of the men within our church. I tell them, especially, like, if you ever get counseled by me or my wife, one of the things that I will always tell the men, listen, when you're mad and you're angry and you're arguing, stay silent. And they're like, well, why, man? She's getting crazy, blah, 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 blah. Right? And sometimes it's the other way around. Right? The man, oh, he's... But I would say to both, be careful with what you say. The reason why is because words you can never take back. And if you respond to your emotions, you're going to say things you probably don't feel. And then when you go to apologize, you're no longer just apologizing for the reason you started the argument. You're now apologizing for something that you mentioned that happened years back. Are you hearing me? So we can't always respond to our emotions. And when it comes to faithfulness, we can't dictate our faithfulness off of a feeling. Are you hearing me? Because biblically, that is very incorrect. Biblical faithfulness has little to do with how I feel. Are you hearing me? True biblical faithfulness, listen to me, is unwavering and is founded on love. True biblical faithfulness is unwavering and founded on... Now, if biblical faithfulness speaks of being unwavering and it's founded on love, and if I am supposed to be a representative of who God is, do I have the authority to just cut somebody off because they talked about me? Do I have the authority to talk down on somebody because of something they did to me and say, well, you know what, you're no good? No, on this side, what I can do is I can create boundaries. Right? Being faithful doesn't mean being a sucker. I'm not saying to endure pain. I'm not saying to endure abuse. I'm not saying to endure verbal abuse. Sometimes within our relationships, we have to create certain boundaries. Why? Because you're valuable. You're worth something. Right? Are you hearing me? I can love you from a distance, but I can't cast you into the sea of forgetfulness. That's not true faithfulness. And I say that because sometimes our faithfulness is not only dictated based off of how we feel, but the problem with that is this. If now I love you based on a set of conditions, am I truly living out the purpose that God intended for us when he died on the cross? See, Jesus just didn't die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus died on the cross as a model of what it meant to truly love somebody. This is why he told his disciples, greater love have no man than this, than he that lay his life down for his friends. Jesus died on the cross for men that scattered on him when they came and arrested him. Jesus died on the cross for the one that neglected him and denied him three times. Jesus died on the cross even for Judas, the one who turned them in. Jesus was faithful and lovable till the end. Are you hearing me? See, the biblical concept of faithfulness is unwavering. It's reliable and it is steady. See, the Bible speaks of this type of faithfulness in four different ways. Now, I'm not going to teach them all today, but the Bible consistently speaks about faithfulness in four ways. Let me give them to you real quick. First off, it speaks of faithfulness as an attribute of God. One of the biggest reasons I felt led to talk about faithfulness this evening is because faithfulness is who God is. And if it's my heart's desire to be more like Jesus, I should probably know what his attributes are. And one of the attributes of who God is faithful. If God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So the Bible speaks of faithfulness as an attribute of God. Secondly, it speaks of faithfulness as a positive quality within men. Thirdly, it speaks of faithfulness as a quality that men often lack. And lastly, the Bible talks about faithfulness as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Did you know that faithfulness can be gifted to you by the Holy Spirit? This is why you can have some men that have never been faithful, or some women that have never been faithful to anything in their life, but then the power of God touches them, then something happens within their heart, and then they learn to be people of their word. They learn to be people of stability, people that are dependable, right? People, what they need in this life is dependability. There are some families, some children, they've never had consistency within their lives. And this is where the church comes into place. This is why some of you got to understand your attendance in church matters. See, like, I love what you said, Pastor Art. You said, because when I first came to church, my life was falling apart. I was on the verge of suicide. My family were chronic alcoholics. So when I came to the church, I needed change for my life. I needed new hope. I needed something new. But then as time went on, I didn't just need to be at church. I wanted to be in church because I realized what someone gave to me, I wanted to give back to somebody else. See, at some point, you might walk in because maybe you had a great need within your life. But as God does a work within you, it should turn from a need or a have to a want to. God bless two of you. Come on, somebody. It's important to be consistent in life. Listen to me, because people are depending on us. People are depending on you and me to make it. Parents, you understand this. You got to wake up in the morning and go to work and provide for your children. There is no if, then, or buts. Faithfulness is required if you're going to be successful and if your children will be successful. What am I trying to get to? Well, one of the common themes throughout the entire Bible is this concept of unwavering faithfulness. Let me give you some examples. I want to read to you some scriptures in the Bible about faithfulness. Jot these down, or you can go back and listen to the tape or listen to it on our app. And I don't know if some of you knew that, but you can listen to the messages on our app. But let me read you some scriptures about faithfulness. Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, I love this. It says, never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's heavy. Think about that for a second. Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know what's heavy about that? When I think of a picture, if faithfulness and loyalty were a necklace that I wear, and the Bible is telling me never leave without it, if the Bible also tells me in that same scripture to write loyalty and faithfulness on my heart, what does that mean? Does that mean that if someone hits me, I'm no longer loyal or no longer faithful? No. I still got to be loyal and I still got to be faithful. What happens is sometimes we're hurt and the hurt changes us in our commitments. You know, there are some people, they live isolated lives, not because they were isolated children. The world made them like that. There are some kids, there are some kids, there are some of you, I would dare to say, that if I spoke to your mama, come on somebody, if I spoke to your daddy, and I said, who was he when he was little? Who was she when she was little? I would dare to say that more than half the room, they would probably say, oh, they were joyful. They would talk to anybody. Oh, man, we'd have to watch them because they would just make friends with anybody within the park. And I'm like, man, that is so much different than the person I know now. What happened? Chances are maybe they were wounded deeply. What am I trying to say? Pain sometimes has a way of distorting our perception and our mindset in how we approach other relationships. And when here we are, we come to Christ, we've been secluded, we have everyone at an arm's distance length, and we live in this suspicious lifestyle. Our heart, and because of what we've been through, we're suspicious of everyone, and we're always looking at people like they're suspect. Right? I'm okay with that as a pastor. I understand that. I've learned to deal with suspicion. Right? But watch this. People are going to look at you in suspicion if you used to have an old lifestyle that they didn't agree with or maybe hurt them. This is why you got to be faithful. You do got something to prove. Now, God done forgave you for who you are and your mistakes. They don't define you. However, you still got to live a certain way so that you're believable, so that you're dependable. Are you hearing me? We need to have faithfulness as something that we take with us everywhere we go. We need to be loyal. Listen to me, even when people are unloyal. The truth is, people are going to hurt us and people will walk out on us. What do? Do we discard them? Do we talk about them? No, we pray for them. Are you hearing me? Let me read you another scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's heavy. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Who's the confession of my hope? You know who Jesus. The confession of my hope is Jesus the Christ, the one that died and the one that rose on the third day and ascended back into heaven. And the Bible is telling me to hold fast to my hope without wavering, because the one who spoke to me, the one who called me, the one who forgave me is faithful. See, that's good news for some of you, because you might be going through something right now that you can't explain. You might be going through something right now that seems unbearable. I got news for you, and I got encouraging words. I want to tell you, you hold on to your hope that is found in Jesus. You don't waver. You don't quit. You keep fighting. You keep pressing. You keep believing, because your best days are ahead of you. The Bible says that he knows the end from the beginning, that God is the author and the perfecter of your faith. You might not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. I'll read you two more scriptures. 1 Chronicles 19:9, and he charged them, thus shall do in the fear of the Lord. in faithfulness and with your whole heart. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. What are we supposed to do? Serve him faithfully with all your heart. See, if you studied the Bible or you went searching, all over you would find that over and over again, the Bible consistently encourages us to be faithful. Now, I mean, you know, that's hard to do in a world that is unfaithful. Can we talk about some realities? It sounds good, right? I guess I'm what you would call a realist, right? Like, I see the glass half full the majority of the times, but I ain't gonna lie, I have a tendency to question things. So I get it. These words sound great. Well, Pastor Eric, it sounds easy to trust everyone. But what do you tell somebody that's never known faithfulness and all they've ever known is despair, hurt, and pain? What do you tell a person that has truly gone through it all their lives? What do you tell a young man who has never seen a faithful father? What do you tell a young woman who has never seen a faithful mother? What do you do when you live in a society like ours where 60% of all households are fatherless? That's an actual statistic. I think the church needs to preach and talk about what it means to be faithful. Because we need to teach our children that although people may have not been faithful to us, he's always faithful. He's always there, and he'll comfort us in time of our need. See, the truth is, being faithful is a constant battle. It's a spiritual battle. Let me explain why. Because in order to be faithful, listen to me, we have to fight through our doubts, overcome our fears, and battle our emotions, and sometimes, to be faithful, we have to neglect our desires. Right? Isn't that true? You ever have somebody good come into your life, maybe a friend, and you got to fight through your doubts. You got to overcome your fears because the last friend hurt you. You got to deal with some emotions that maybe were damaged from the past. And because we're built on emotional triggers, did you know that you might experience something today that takes you back 10 years because it triggered an emotion? Are you hearing me? Does this make sense? So how does a person live out being faithful in a world that is unfaithful? This is the key. Listen to me. Listen, you write this down. The key to living out faithfulness starts with our understanding that true faithfulness is founded on God's love. True biblical faithfulness is founded on God's love. What do I mean by that? Well, the first thing we have to understand is God's love is unconditional. Man's love is conditional. God's love is unwavering. Did you know there is nothing you can do that would cause God not to love you? There is nothing that you can't do that would cause God not to love you. That's heavy. Man, I used to trip off that when I came in 19 years ago. I remember I was like, how could that be possible? But then I had children 8 years ago. Come on, somebody. I look at my kids and I'm like, man, there's no way I couldn't love them. Does that mean that there aren't times I got to discipline them? See, God loves you, but because he's a loving father, he disciplines us. And God will save your soul, but he will not save you from the ramifications of your decisions. God loves, some people, they come to the Lord, they're like, God, I'm ready to change. God, I'm done. God, here I am. And then they want everything to change within a month. But you got to remember that there's a principle in the Bible about sowing and reaping. If you plant apple seeds and you water it, you're going to get some apple trees over time. So let's spiritualize this for a second. If for years all I did was sow negativity and all I did was lie and all I did was connive, I still got to deal with those things in the form of my family not believing me. If I'm a person that constantly says I want to get with you, and I keep canceling. Or let's just say, you know those people that were like, they're not coming. It's a joke, but it's funny, right? There are people that they're like that. They got jackets. People in my family, oh, he ain't coming. Hey, are you coming? I ask them just for fun. Are you coming? Yeah. You ain't coming. Right? Or you know those coworkers? You know that when there's a three-day weekend, they're calling in sick. Come on, somebody. Right? You just conveniently called in sick and got a tummy ache an hour before you were working, and I checked your Facebook, and you were out of state. I used to be a manager, so trust me. What am I trying to say? Those aren't the type of people we want to be as Christians. We want to be people of our word, right? We need to be people of stability and consistency. See, we as God's people must strive to love unconditionally, and watch this, and we got to strive to be faithful in all situations. Are you hearing me? We must learn to love as 1 Corinthians teaches us in 1 Corinthians 13. If true biblical faithfulness is founded on God's love, then we need to understand what the Bible says. Listen to this. Think about these words and how powerful. You know, whenever I conduct a marriage, before they say their vows, I always read this verse to them. And I always charge the people that I'm marrying. I tell them, listen, life and marriage is not going to be easy. The truth is, you're going to feel like quitting sometimes. I tell them this sometimes, right before they tie the knot. But the reason I tell them that is because I tell them, no matter what you go through together, love will never fail you. God's love will always be within you. See, the scripture I'm about to read to you gives us parameters of what true unconditional love looks like. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Watch this. It keeps no records of wrongs. Somebody say amen. Say it with me. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Watch this, but rejoices in evil. Delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. I'm sorry. I had to think about that for a second. Verse number 7. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love will never fail you. What's the common theme? Always. Faithful. That's a powerful description of what love should be like. True love is unconditional. True love is faithful. See, faithfulness is a quality we have to work at intentionally and cultivate within our lives. Now, how can I be faithful? How can I be faithful? Well, what we should do if we want to understand what faithfulness looks like, all you have to do is study the life of Jesus. Jesus' life served as a perfect model to the world what it meant to be faithful when everyone else was unfaithful. Jesus came from heaven to earth and died a gruesome death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Listen to me. He was mocked, ridiculed, and beaten, and through it all, he remained faithful unto death. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Philippians 2:8 says this, and being founded in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus died a sinner's death for the forgiveness of our sins. He endured the cross for you and I. And Jesus knew what he was going to go through. In Luke 22, he even goes before the Father and he says, if you would be willing to take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. What am I trying to tell you? There are going to be situations within your life that are unfair and unfavorable. And through it all, you got to learn how to be faithful. Why? Why be faithful? Somebody asked me that once. Why go through all this, Pastor? Why go through this? It's hard, man. It's hard being truthful. It's hard doing the right thing. It's hard. And they asked me one time, and they were honest. Why do I have to go through this? My life was better when it was out there. I felt like it was not stressful, but now everything is falling apart. My answer was pretty simple. I'm faithful because he was faithful to me. I'm faithful, not because a man told me, not because my pastor made me. I am faithful because I remember what he pulled me out of. I'm faithful because I try to daily remember who I was without him. And the truth is that, man, when without him, I was lost. I was hurting. I didn't have direction. But when he finally came into my life, in the midst of my chaos, in the midst of my struggle, when depression tried to hit me, no longer did I give in, but I felt this sense of peace. Later on, after studying the Bible, I realized what that peace was. It was the peace that transcends all understanding. In other words, because I learned not to give in to my emotions, I learned to stand on truth. I learned to be faithful, even when my world was falling apart. I learned to trust in the one that called me by name, not because a man told me, but because I knew that he was the one that was still writing my story. You got to be faithful to God. You're not called to something, you're called to someone. You're not called to Victory Outreach, you're called to God. This may be the ministry that God calls you to serve in, but at the end of the day, I'm called unto the Lord. Are you hearing me? And that requires faithfulness, because it is a privilege to serve God. And be, think about that for a second. Now I'm going to end with this. There's more that I got a bunch more, but I'm going to end with this. Think about that for a second. I don't know about you, but growing up, man, I couldn't be trusted. Some of you, if you really think about your life, man, here we are. Not everyone's like this. And I thank God that I have a church like this that I could raise my children in, because you know what? They're not going to have to go through what I went through. Some of your children will never experience the pain you did because you were faithful, because you showed up. And you know what's going to be beautiful? Your children, one day when they're older, they're going to talk and they say, you know what? I remember in children's church, they taught me when you don't know what to do, pray. And you know what? Here I am, 25 years old. I feel lost, but all I remember was my children's worker teacher who taught me how to pray. Are you hearing me? We got to be faithful, church, because people are depending on us. We got to be faithful. Watch this. You know that it benefits you to be faithful? It benefits you to be faithful. And Brother Eric, you can come on up to give them hope. I'm really going to close. Come on, somebody. Being faithful benefits you. You know why? Number one, did you know that God watches and supports your life when you're faithful? Listen to what it says in Psalms 101:6. My eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land, that they may walk with me. The one who walks blameless will minister to me. And I'm going to end there. And I actually will preach. I will. The second half of this message in a week or two, because there's more. There are benefits. Let me tell you the first benefit of being faithful. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the faithful. That's heavy. That is such a powerful scripture. And let me explain to you why. When the Bible says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful in the land, you know what those words mean, upon? When the Bible says that my eyes, the words be upon actually mean support, confirm, uphold, and nourish. In other words, the Bible and God is telling us that when we are faithful, he will support, he will confirm, he will uphold, and nourish us. In our faithfulness. When we are faithful, not only will God support us, but isn't this beautiful? The Bible says that the one who walks blameless ministers to me. Just think about this concept for a second. God ministers to my life all the time, right? I read the Bible, I get encouraged, right? I pray, I get encouraged. But the Bible says here that when I walk blameless, I get the opportunity to minister to a God that is almighty. See, some of you got to capture that. How many would love, like if he was physically here, wouldn't you love to minister to him? What would that look like? Right? I just want to make him happy. Like the God who pulled me out of the muck and mire, I just want to make him happy. So therefore, it benefits you to be faithful in all that requires or all that glorifies God, because when you're faithful, it ministers to God. And when you minister to God, he supports us. He confirms the call on our life. He upholds us. This is why it's important that we need to be faithful even when the world isn't faithful. Just because the world says you can lie doesn't mean you can lie. Just because the world says to cheat on taxes, come on somebody. Collect unemployment although you're not really trying to find a job, come on somebody. This is real stuff. This is practical, everyday stuff. But when I'm faithful to him, not only will he provide for me, will he confirm, and will he uphold me, but I get an opportunity to minister to the God of all creation. See, church, we need to be faithful. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning.